Hi, friends. Hello, hello. You're listening to I'm Sorry With the Podcast with Ashley Sleek. It's just like I showed up to your house, bottle of wine in hand, with like 45 to an hour of juicy ass gossip to talk about. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Hello, hello, and welcome to a very surprise episode of I'm Sorry With the Podcast. I'm Ashley Sleek, and happy Monday. Listen, I'm a Swiftie with my own podcast. Of course, I'm going to do an entire episode that's literally just dedicated to me talking about the new album. Like, what is a girl to do? I was listening to the album and I was like, okay, obviously I could probably fit this into a regular episode, but I just felt like, wouldn't it be fun to just sit down and listen to the entire album, write down my thoughts, and then like tell them to the world? So I literally last night sat down at this very desk. I bought out a notebook because I felt like Tortured Poets Department is a very like a pen and paper vibe. So I sat down, I listened to the album with the lyrics, and I wrote down my thoughts. And so that's basically what this episode is. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big like, I didn't like dig into the people and do the decoding. And so I don't have all the like amazing, you know, Easter eggs and things like listed here, you know, as you will find on TikTok. And I haven't even really gone down the TikTok spiral yet, so I'm sure that's to come. But I just wanted to give you my raw overall opinion of the new album. And let me just start here. Thank God for Travis Kelce. And this is why I say it. The Tortured Poets Department is such a roller coaster, and my heart hurts so much. And I kept having to remind myself the entire time I was listening, I'm like, girl, remember, Travis Kelce exists. Like, she gets through this. She gets through this. It was so, oh, there were songs obviously that didn't like hurt as bad as the other ones, but I just had to like keep reminding myself that our girl gets through. Our girl gets through. Here are my overall feelings of the three men that are kind of like leading this. Okay, so here's my assessment of Joe Alwyn. I feel that it's pretty much the same as I've always taken the stance. And the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. So like Joe and Taylor started dating around the time where Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, you know, got her. Like, it's so hard to say because like, I guess technically she was canceled, but like, it's just, it feels so not right of a word, you know? So, you know, when she kind of went into hiding from what they did. And then if you think about it, even as she was reemerging, like then there was COVID. So for the majority of their relationship, it was very private. And I know that I've said this before, but I just feel like he liked her not being in the spotlight. I think he liked that she with him wasn't Taylor Swift, you know, she was his girlfriend, you know. And through the lyrics in the song, to me, it sounds like he was battling his own demons. And I think that he, to me, sounds like somebody who was stuck in like a misery loves company kind of place. Like he was going through his own, you know, it sounds like battling his own depression and things like that. And I think he kind of liked when she was down with him. And as she was starting to rise again and starting to become Taylor Swift again and like get confident, get into her own, it sounds like he couldn't get there. And I think she thought that like she was helping him through that dark spot and he was helping her through that dark spot. So like maybe together they would get to like a better place. And I think that like that's just what happened. I feel like she couldn't pull him out and it was devastating to her. Now, there's a couple songs where I was like, oh shit, was there cheating? Was there a scandal? But my overall vibe of the relationship between the two of them was just that like, you know, he kind of sucked her down, I think, into a hole. And then she was trying to like figure her way back out. That was like kind of my overall feeling of it. And I feel like it's just one of those things where they kind of just weren't right for each other. But like, how were you supposed to know that? And I think she really loved him. And I think that's what you really get in this, you know, album more than anything else, was that like the love was so real and it's so painful to go through. Because obviously we've seen her in so many relationships, but it feels like Joe was like the longest, the most serious, the kind of one that we all thought was Endgame, and we all really like rooted for it because we just wanted our girl to be so happy. And it seemed like, you know, he was very supportive. And I think, like, in the same way we all thought that, like, so did she. You know, she was like, I literally got canceled and this was like the worst time of my life, and he was there with me. So, like, how am I to not think that he's going to be with me, like, all the time, you know? And then he wasn't. And I think that's that, to me, obviously, that's like the overall theme. So Maddie Healy, however, is a fucking snake in the grass. Like, fuck this guy, which we all kind of knew, you know, we were all kind of like, oh, I didn't know much about him to begin with. But I just took one look at that boy and I was like, this is a older, less attractive version of Harry Styles. Like, and I even feel like offensive saying that, but I just feel like, you know, he is a washed up version of him. Like, Harry Styles is actually good looking and like very talented and charismatic and all that stuff. And I just feel like Maddie Healy was like trying to be that. It, to me, Maddie Healy gives the, you know, the sixth year in college who's like still going to frat parties and everyone's kind of like puts up with him because he buys the alcohol. But you're kind of like, yeah, you even tell your friends, like, don't talk to him, like, you know, get your drinks and leave. Like, that is the vibe I'm getting from Maddie Healy. And it just sounded like, you know, she was coming off such a difficult relationship and then trying to do the Eras tour, like, and this guy kind of swooped in and was like, I'm going to benefit. Like, it felt very self-serving. Like, he's all, I'm going to get famous because I'm going to be very supportive of Taylor Swift and I'm just going to, like, play her ass. And, like, little did you know, like, if you play Taylor, you play all of us. So how dare you? And so, yeah, he's a fucking snake in the grass and was not cute enough for the bullshit he pulled. And then, of course, with Travis Kelce, we do, to me, obviously, nothing's confirmed. It sounds to me like we get two kind of Travis-coded songs, potentially three, depending on how you take one. And I am so obsessed. Like, truly, she blessed us by giving us these songs because I felt like it kind of helped me get through the album. Like, I just felt for her. And obviously, I knew going into it that, like, this was going to be a difficult album. Like, going through a breakup, listening to a breakup album when I, like, literally haven't even been listening to music. And then I was like, no, let me just really deep dive and I'm going to listen to Taylor Swift's Heartbreak Anthem, basically, you know? So I do have to say this, which is so funny. I feel like I get tricked by Taylor all the time, which I'm sure a lot of people feel, but I feel like when I listen to a new album, I always miss, you know, the right version of it, like the extended version of it. And then I'm always like, where do these songs come from? Like, how did I miss this? So I listened at 9 o'clock, you know, Pacific Standard Time, and I listened with the lyrics on and I was like, okay, I was like getting through it, you know, and then I went to sleep and I woke up and I immediately went on TikTok and everybody was talking about Thank You, Amy. And I'm like, where the shit did this song come from? I'm like, seriously, I did it again? No, I realized that our girl released more songs at 2 a.m. And it was so funny because my best friend Erin was like, she gave us 31 songs to memorize and I am literally still trying to memorize some Volt tracks. And I was like, no, seriously though, like, such the vibe. And it is funny though, because, and she says this in one of her songs, you know, as kind of a joke, which I know I wrote it down, so we'll get into it because I'm breaking down each song and my thoughts. But you know, her songs are kind of like a drug and you can like memorize them. Like, there's some that I've only listened to a couple times and I like already know the words. And I will say, like, I feel like this album is one that's going to take me like a few times to fully digest and get in. So I have a couple of my songs that I wanted to share that, first of all, there was a couple songs that I had to stop and some of them that I haven't even really, like, when we go through, I don't know if I have a good assessment because I kind of had to take it with like closed eyes. So here are the songs that I had to pause when I was listening to them because it was too sad. Down Bad. I was like, oh, okay. LOML, Love of My Life turned Loss of My Life. Ooh, Black Dog was a good song. It tricked me of how sad it was because when I first listened to it, I would say my overall assessment was that when I first listened, I liked the second half of the album better than the first. But now that I've listened to it all together, I'm kind of like, you know, I like it all. But I was on a hot girl walk when I listened to the second half and I was listening to Black Dog and I'm like, this song's like pump up, you know? Then I read the lyrics and I was like, absolutely not. How Did It End was one that I did not really get through. And The Prophecy. Mm-mm-mm. Right now, I feel like the vibe for me is that, like, I love all the songs, but I feel like these are my top songs that I love right now. These are my favorites. And I think it's kind of reflective of the way I'm in my very, like, scared era. But I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Absolutely iconic depression anthem. The Alchemy, obviously. So High School. And, of course, Thank You, Amy. Like, I'm somebody who will tell the story over and over and over again. I mean, Eloy, one of my best friends, woke me up in the dead of the night to be like, holy shit, did you see what Kim Kardashian just did? So, like, I've been invested in this drama. Okay, so let's break down the songs individually. It's not that I have, like, something to say about all of them, but, like, I do. Okay, so starting with Fortnite, I already have a couple t-shirts in my Etsy cart that are, like, of Taylor and Post together. Like, this was my dream collab. Of course, these are two of my favorite artists. The only way this could get any better is if Miley Cyrus was on this album, which Beyonce did that. We love. I really loved it. I mean, one of the lyrics that she keeps saying that was, like, hard that I wrote down was, like, I love you. It's ruining my life. Like, ouch. But I thought Fortnite was a great song. I thought it was a perfect way to kick off the album. Because what happened the first time I listened to it was I realized, like, my phone's, like, automatically on shuffle. I'm a shuffle girly. And so I was listening to it. And then I was like, suddenly, I don't know what song popped up. But I was like, I feel like this isn't in order. And so then I realized it wasn't. I was so mad. So I had to restart. Because it's like, you have to listen to the album in order. Like, if you're going to listen to it the first time, you got to listen to it in order. So I went back and I was like, Fortnite was absolutely the song to kick it off to. But I also feel like I wrote this down. Should we talk about Taylor's murder era? Because I feel like this is a theme. I feel like Taylor talks about killing people a lot. And, like, I know our girls had a tough time, but, like, should we be concerned? Okay, moving on to the torture poets department. I know that people for some reason think that this is about Maddie, and I can understand that, but I feel like this to be the album, like, the title track of the album, and, like, this song to me was giving, like, long-standing love. Like, she's got a list of things that hurt. So to me, it's a Joe song. But most importantly, the thing I needed to talk about was the Charlie Puth quote. So she says, you know, that basically they're getting high and eating chocolate, and we declare that Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. Now, the reason I have to bring this up specifically is because if you've been a loyalist in the podcast, I'm not expecting you to remember, obviously, every single thing I've ever said here on the podcast. But one thing I said years ago, and I feel like I might have to go dig it up, but, like, God, that's a deep cut, is that I did this episode and I talked about how my dad was very concerned about Charlie Puth. He was like, what happened to Charlie Puth? And he himself felt like Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. So my dad actually, you know, really inspired the Taylor Swift quote of this all. And you know what? Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. And that like cracked me up. I did Google, because when I was thinking that it was about Joe and not Maddie, because she says that, you know, she would scratch his head like a tattooed golden retriever. And I was like, does Joe Alwyn have tattoos? Like, I don't know, he gives Moody, but, like, I couldn't decide. The internet couldn't tell me. So I was, like, very confusing. And then, like, she mentions and, like, alludes to a proposal. She says about, like, you know, he took off the ring, one of my rings, and put it on, like, that finger, the wedding finger, you know? And I just feel like if Maddie Healy really did that, like, this boy's fucking more fucked up than I thought. So overall, I think the Tortured Poets Department was a great song. I really liked the beat, but yeah, I think it's about Joe. Okay, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. This is one of the songs actually, like, randomly stuck in my head, and I'm like, get out, but it's so catchy. And this is the literal Delulu soundtrack, which I feel like there's a lot of them on here. I feel like I write this a lot, and what I mean by that is, like, basically the song saying that, like, you know, it's clearly about a relationship. I actually, to me, I don't think this is about one relationship. To me, I feel like this is about her overall feeling so far about these guys that she's dated that have hurt her. And she's like, no, it's okay. Because, like, my boy only breaks his favorite toys. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, he's doing this because he loves me. You know, like, oh, you know, he feels the most comfortable with me. So that's why he can be mean to me. And then it's kind of like her realizing, like, maybe that's not okay. And this line killed me. I'm the queen of sandcastles he destroys. Oh. And then she says, once I fix me, he's going to miss me. I know that that's like everything about this album to me was just giving all the things that you think about in a breakup. Like, she literally to me hit on all the things that go through your mind when you're going through a breakup. And this was just so it was like upbeat heartbreaking. Like, she tricks you. It's like, it's such a good song. You're like, my boy only breaks his favorite toys. And then you're like, what did she just say? Like, oh shit. Woo! Down bad. This, I feel like a lot of, I will say this. I related to when the way she was talking in some of these songs about breakups of like the things that go through your head, like I just said. But I didn't feel like I said, I feel very grateful when it comes to my breakup because I, you know, I'm very heartbroken, but I don't feel like I got broken. I don't know. It's weird. Like, there's a lot of things I don't relate to, but down bad, I was like, you know, she literally says, fuck it. If I can't have him, I might just die. It would make no difference. Like, when you are first going through breakups and, you know, maybe for a while, like, it literally feels like things are never going to get better. And that is, like, kind of down bad to me. It's like, it feels like no matter what you do, like, it's just never going to feel better. And, you know, she talks about crying at the gym. And I will say, like, there are so many random places that I broke down and cried about this, you know, relationship. Like, I feel like there are just so many things that remind me of him, obviously, and then just like in general. And I wrote down, like, the only reason I didn't cry at the gym is because I don't go to the gym. Like, that's the only reason. But I would have been. And oh, down bad, just woo. It was like one of the first songs I had to pause. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this, but like, my girl. Okay, So Long London, I was like, shit. But I have to say, the first time I listened to it, I had to pause and go up and see if Lana Del Rey was on this album because I literally thought that was her singing. This is a very Lana Del Rey coded song to me. Like, I don't know if you all feel the same, but I quite literally thought that's who was singing. And I was like, holy shit. But the way she brings in the choir in the beginning, it's like, okay, fine. This is beautiful and painful and I'm absolutely dying. To me, this is like Tolerated Sister. I feel like these two songs go together so well. And I think it's like, you know, Tolerated obviously was so much of like her realizing that like she's doing her best and she's trying so hard and it's like not getting appreciated. And I feel like So Long London was her reminding herself that happened and being like, hey, we're not going to go through this again. Like, one of these lyrics that I wrote down was, and you'll say I abandoned the ship, but I was, oh wait, I'm so sorry. I have to like move pages, but I was going down with it. Let me just read that shit again. And you'd say I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. Like, hello. That was literally like that is really, I think, what sparked my theory about the fact that he was like going down this path. And I think she realized like, oh, I don't think this is the way I want to live my life anymore, you know? And then he was like, well, you left me. And it's like, I think she was trying to make things better for the both of them. And he was just like resistant, you know? And this was the other quote that like solidified this theory for me. You sacrifice us to the gods of your bluest days. You guys, I have to say, more than anything about this album, the lyrics, the lyricism of this album is so fucking nuts to me. This girl is a goddamn genius. Like, that is a theme throughout. Okay, so, but Daddy, I love him. The way I felt about the song was I felt like this was giving Love Story, but like older and like more stakes. Like, remember Love Story is such a cute, you know, song, and it's kind of like, this is our love story. Like, I felt like this was that, but like older and kind of funnier and like whatever. Like, she literally was like, hey, I like this guy and you all don't like him. Like, well, I'm having his baby. What do you think about that? Just kidding. Well, I'm not having his baby, but so I'm just dating him. Like, it's giving when you have to tell someone something bad. So you like tell them something worse and then you're like, but just kidding. But it's like actually this, you know, which is not a tactic I recommend, but it literally cracked me up so much. So she's there. I wrote some lyrics down, obviously, that I love. So one of them is, I'd rather burn my whole life down to listen than to listen to one more second of all this bitching and moaning. I think she was like, okay, I want everyone to leave me alone. Like, the overall of this song to me was giving like, I'm going to date somebody and you guys are going to tear him down, but like, I don't care because I love him anyways. And maybe you will learn to love him, which is why I can't decide if this is a Travis song. Cause at first I was kind of thinking it was giving like Matty Healy. Cause everybody was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, don't date this guy. And then, but it ends so good where she's like, and my dad loves him, that I was like, maybe this is Travis. Cause I feel like people were kind of, everyone's going to be skeptical, you know, of everything. But this to me, at first I was like, is she talking to us, the Swifties? But then I was like, no, she's definitely talking to the media. Because one of the other quotes was like, that's just white noise and it's my choice. I also love when she called out the wine moms. But also the most iconic line of the whole song is, and no, you can't come to the wedding. Like, this is about to be every like bride's anthem right here. Like, it's literally like, no, you guys have been talking shit about my relationship this whole time. You were trying to put it down. And now that it's exciting, you all want to come to the wedding. Like, this is literally, because it cracks me up, because the way she's talking about it is like a small town, and I'm like, if this is not so small town coded, because it is such a funny thing of like, people will just shit on a relationship the whole time, like family, like you hear about this so often where like there are people where like, I have to invite this person to my wedding, and yet they literally were not supportive of my relationship the entire time, and now they think they're gonna get an invite, like what the fuck. And so Taylor said it was okay not to invite them, so listen to Taylor and don't invite these losers to your wedding. Fresh out the slammer, all I said was, oh, my heart hurts for her. There are some of these where I was just like, okay, like this was painful. But also, once again, our girl is in prison, you know, but I kind of felt like, whew, I just felt like she was in prison in this relationship. And like, once again, the solace I had to keep reminding myself is like, she gets out. She gets out. She's with Travis. She seems very happy. She gets out. Florida. So I did have to dive into a theory on this one, because I had seen a few and I was like, what the shit is with her in Florida? Like, so random. But people are saying that, it's because the Eras Tour. Okay, so right after, you know, all the rumors kind of came out that her and Joe broke up, the first tour that she did after that, or like the first performance, was Florida. So people are kind of thinking that's like what it is. This song is good. The song's like, I'll listen to it all the time when my heart's not broken. But like, she was like, fuck me up, Florida. And I'm like, okay, girl. And I already saw the way the Florida tourism was like, oh, hell yeah, finally. Something good for us. But like, if you listen to the song, like, I don't think it is. Also, once again, the murder. And then like, literally Florence and the Machine is on this song and she's singing and she's like, talking about killing someone, and she was like burying a body in Florida. And she's like, is that a bad thing to say in a song? And I'm like, probably. But it was a good song. Again, I'm like, this is painful, but fuck me up, Florida. Like, not bad. Okay. Guilty as Sin. And okay, so this was the other song, I guess, that I thought was about Travis. Like, okay, I don't know if my dad's gonna listen to this, but if he is, I would just say, like, let's skip ahead a little bit. You're not gonna hear what I have to say, want to hear. But is this literally about her like getting off to Travis? Like, it must be, right? Like, Guilty as Sin sounds like she is literally like getting off, and like, we love this for her. Like, she said, we have already did it in my mind. My bed sheets are ablaze. I scream his name. Like, girl, okay.
I said, okay. I was like, I'm not upset about this one. Like, but then I have to say, like, this song was, like, definitely getting off coded, you know? And then I was like, please tell me she wrote this one alone. But she wrote it with Jack Antonoff. And I was like, these friends are very close. Like, hello? Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Now, this is the song I always wonder now when songs come out. I am constantly wondering, like, okay, which one is going to be, like, the next TikTok trend, you know? Like, you know that every song kind of gets the TikTok trend treatment if it's, like, good or, like, an album. So it's, like, what Taylor song is going to be, like, the TikTok trend? And the most I'm seeing is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. It's giving Reputation in the best way. Like, I feel like this is her song where she was like, you know what? People just keep underestimating me. And she's like, oh, who's afraid of little me? You should be. Like, I will be playing the song in my head the next time I get disrespected. And I feel like overall, she's just like calling out the media and all the stuff that she's dealt with. She said, it's a wonder I broke. Let's hear one more joke. This is a big hello to me, to the media and the haters. She also was seriously like, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum that raised me. And I was like, oh my God. And I saw one tweet about this and someone was like, girl, what happened to the Christmas tree farm? Like the literal asylum that you were, you know, raised on? Like what happened to the trees? What happened to Christmas tree farm? And I'm like, no, like, I think she's saying that, you know, like she's been scrutinized as all hell, like for literally her entire career. And she's like, you all wouldn't last a day in my shoes. And this is also the song that I was talking about earlier where she was like, you all say that I put narcotics into all my songs and that's why you sing along. And I'm like, facts. Like, there's something in these songs. Like, I can't. The next couple songs, I don't have, like, much to say because they were, like, so tragic. But I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can, was just another DeLulu girl soundtrack. And we've all been there. I would say, like, I, you know, have worked through that, you know, pre my last relationship of feeling like, no, it's okay, I can fix him. And Taylor, like, she wrote a song about what we were all thinking. I get it. Okay, so I don't know how people say, do people call this song Love of My Life? Like L-O-M-L. I honestly, when I was doing my re-listen, I didn't want to go through the pain. So I didn't really re-listen to it. I listened to it once. So I don't really know. Of course, I think the reason I didn't want to listen to it again wasn't, I don't know if any of the lyrics really stuck with me except for the last one, which was when she goes from using this as Love of My Life to Loss of My Life. And I'm going to leave it at that because I don't feel like crying again on the podcast. One of my favorite songs, and I didn't even write notes because I knew I could talk about it so much, was I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I'm so depressed I act like it's my birthday every day. This is, and I saw someone tweet this, or I think I saw it on a TikTok. And by the way, I'm still not on Twitter, but I like that people are screenshotting Twitters and putting it on Twitters. What am I, 90 years old? I like that people are screenshotting tweets and putting it on TikTok for me. I appreciate that. But I saw someone saying, like, this is the corporate girly anthem. I cry a lot, but I'm so productive. It's an art. I was like, this is me. This is the song version of what I say when people are like, are you going to cry about it? Are you going to boss up? And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm going to do both. Like, this is me. I cry a lot, but I am so productive. It's an art. And oh my God, this song was like heartbreaking, but also just so relatable. But then everybody on the internet was like, this is the other song that I think is, you know, the most TikTok trendy that I've seen. And then like, I feel so sad that we are all the same level as this, but like, it's nice to not feel alone, I guess, question mark. But oh my God, this song's so good. It's basically about her, you know, like going through this heartbreak on the Eras Tour and being like, yeah, but I'm gonna still do it. Like, it's fine. And then at the end, she's kind of like, it's her and Jack wrote the song. And like, at the end, you can see she's just like, it's her exhausted thoughts. And she's like, take my job. Like, good luck being me, you know? And I love it. Okay, The Smallest Man in the World is my favorite male diss track that's ever been written. And to me, it's giving Maddie Healy. Like, this song, to me, it's not giving Joe because I just feel like, with Joe, like, she's upset about things that are, like, just bigger. But with Maddie Healy, it's literally, like, you're not shit, you know? And my favorite was, she said, you literally tried to talk to some of my friends to get drugs. Like, you tried to go through, like, a friend of a friend, and, like, they ghosted you because, like, F you. Like, nobody cares. And the reason I think that it was Maddie Healy also coded was because she says, I just want to know if rusting my sparkling summer was the goal. Because I feel like, you know, she's coming out of this breakup, then she does the Eras Tour. And I feel like kind of the Eras Tour saved her. Like, I know that, like, she was saying, I can do it with a broken heart. But I feel like her having this, like, purpose, as I talked about, you know, with my own breakup, how I used Danielle and Kevin's wedding to be my purpose. Like, I feel like the Eras Tour was really her purpose going through this. And yeah, I just feel like Smallest Man in the World is about Maddie Healy. And she was like doing good. And then this guy came and she was like, he's coming to the Eras Tour. Like, this is so fun. I'm letting him into my life. And then he was an ass, you know? So she's like, what the hell? You're just the smallest boy who ever lived. Like, you're such a blimp in time. Like, honestly, like, I don't even know if you'll make it into the Boyfriend Hall of Fame, you know? Okay, so now onto another one of my favorite songs, but The Alchemy, the way I screamed out loud when she said the word touchdown, like, she literally said, touchdown, call the amateurs and cut him from the team. I was like, girl, she's already the coach. And one of the other things I love that she said was, I haven't been around for long, but I'm making a comeback to where I belong. And I'm like, yes, you are. Like, literally the world has been waiting for you to be here. So hello. And then I wrote down this entire lyric because I felt like we had to say it out loud. Like, I'm just so obsessed. Shirts off, Jason Kelsey, and your friends lift you over their heads, beer sticky to the floor, chanted because they said there's no chance, trying to be the greatest in the league. Hello. That is, I was literally just talking to my dad about this because I was like, the Chiefs really did something. Like, I didn't want to talk about it because I'm a Niners fan and it's annoying, but like, nobody thought the Chiefs were going to win. Like, they weren't having a good season. So the fact that they won was like, what the hell, wild, right? So like, that's what she's saying. Like, there was no chance, trying to be the greatest in the league. Where's the trophy? He just comes running to me. And we all watch this. I like when she talks about things that we all literally watched and cried and screamed over. Like, I'm obsessed with the song. I'm obsessed that there is Travis on this album. I didn't think we were going to get that. I'm obsessed with the fact that we all kind of joked about, like, how is she going to sing about football? And she did. And it was a slay, absolute slay. So happy. Okay, so Clara Bow is the last track on, like, what was the first half of this album. So she was an actress. She was like the original It Girl. And honestly, my dad told me all this, which was so nice. And her life was constantly scrutinized. And she ended up quitting acting after just like all this like scandal and stuff. So, and like some mental health breakdown. So I kind of feel like, you know, Taylor likes to bring light to these, you know, historical women that kind of just like got shit on. And I feel like this isn't the first time she's done it, and it makes so much sense. But I also feel like the song itself is actually just talking about history repeating itself over and over and over again, and the women who get scrutinized, and like the warning for the next generation, because she's like, you know, you look just like Taylor Swift, like, you know. And people kind of think it's about Sabrina Carpenter because she's like, you look like Taylor Swift, but you got a little bit more edge, and like, that's Sabrina. But it could also be Olivia, but it could also just be in general, like, you know, women that have been in the media that are going to come up and get scrutinized. So like, we love when she just sticks it to everybody and like, you know, says, this is history repeating itself. Be careful. And like, what are you all doing? Why are you treating people like that? Okay, so now we're getting into the second half of the album where she released at 2 a.m. and shocked the world. Okay, The Black Dog was one of the songs, like I said earlier, that I thought was like just such a easygoing bop. And then I was like, wait, this is tragic. Still having your ex's location is so relatable. I was like kind of thinking about it, and I was like, I don't think I like, I think I probably had Jimmy's, you know, but it's like this weird moment. And I kind of think about it from like a friendship level. Like when you kind of stop being someone's friend and then you like have their location, you're like, what do I do with this? So like this song was, once again, she's speaking to the, you know, breakup pieces, like the pieces of the puzzle. And one of them is like, watching somebody kind of like move on with their life or just like live their life in general, and you're like so depressed and you're like, how are you doing that? Like, how are you okay? And that's kind of what Black Dog is giving to me. It was like, I'm dying and you're fine. Like, how are you going out to a bar right now? You know? And so it was painful, but the beat was good. So it kind of kept me going through it. I'm going to get you back. was wild. She literally said, whether I'm going to be your wife or smash up your bike, I haven't decided yet, but I know I'm going to get you back. I was like, oh my God. I said, okay, she's crazy. The one thing I wanted to talk about on this song was she says, I'm an Aston Martin, but you steered straight into a ditch. And the reason this is important is because in case you're not on Formula One TikTok, like I am, there's a Formula One Swifty universe out there. Okay. So, Fernando Alonso is somebody who drives for Aston Martin. He's been driving for a really long time. And there was just like this hilarious, I don't remember how it started, but basically like there's been this like Fernando Alonso is a Swiftie, you know, secretly dating Taylor Swift, like all these just like really funny kind of like memes to come out of the Formula One community. So for her to like put Aston Martin in a song after like this, and this like is all over TikTok. And I feel like Taylor is one of those people who like she watches TikToks about herself and she like laughs at people's theories. And then she like sneaks them into songs to like let us know that she's watching. And I felt like this was it. And that was like kind of my favorite part of the song. I don't even know. Wait, the albatross. I was like, I can't read my own handwriting. I just wrote good song, but might just be too smart for me right now. At some points I was just like, okay, this is like a very beautiful song. I'm just like not ready to dive deep in. And that was the same. Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Ouch. I just wrote ouch. And then I was like, was Joe on drugs? Is that what she's saying? Like, I couldn't figure it out, but the song just gave me ouch. I that's truly all I have to say about it. ouch again. It comes really big ouch again on this next one, which is how did it end? And this to me is about like everybody's perception when like a relationship ends and you step back and you're like, wait, how did that happen? Like, how did I go from being so in love and it's over? And like, honestly, I feel as if that is all I can say about it. Like, I felt like she was literally stepping back and thinking to herself, like, how did I find myself in a breakup again? And I'm like, that is so relatable. And I'll leave it at that. So high school, you guys, this was cute. This was cute because you know why I thought this was so cute was because I feel like a lot of us, when Taylor started dating Travis, we kept going back to like, You Belong With Me, where she was like, you know, you're cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. And it was kind of this whole thing about like kind of being jealous of the girl, you know, who kind of gets the big like football guy and all this stuff, you know. And then it's like, no, you're that. And she like wrote that song in high school. So I feel like she's going back to this like high school era. She's like healing her teenage trauma with Travis, you know. But one of my favorite memes to come out was it was like a picture of Jason on the podcast and it's him saying, so did you watch American Pie, like on the next episode of New Heights? Because like, if you don't know, like New Heights is so funny. Like Jason always is out here addressing the Taylor T. Like he is such a brother. He's just like, no, I gotta know. Like, I gotta know what the hell you were, what you're thinking. And we're gonna tell the Swifties what's up. And like, it's so appreciative. So that cracked me up. And I died at, she said, are you gonna marry, kiss, or kill me? And in case you don't know, there was an interview that was like dug up from years ago where they asked Travis Kelce to play like, you know, marry, kill, or kiss. And Taylor was one of the people and she said to kiss. And, you know, then she's like, I think we're gonna do all three. And I was like, okay, no more killing, Taylor. And then she also alludes to, she doesn't allude, she straight up says like, he opens the car door for me, which we all saw. Remember historically, like Travis opened the car door for her and people was like, he pushed away security to open the door. It's like, shut up. He's just a gentleman. And then she also said, you knew what you wanted and boy, you got it. Like this song is about Travis. I'm sorry. Because like literally Travis was like, I want to meet Taylor Swift and I want to be with her. And he did it. And she was like, yes. I never thought we would have a song that referenced Grand Theft Auto that was like so beautiful. And that's Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift takes, like, literally has a song that says Grand Theft Auto in it, and it's like Shakespeare wrote it. Like, you bitches could never. I Hate It Here is just Depression 101. And let's get to the song that I could not wait to discuss with you all. I literally cannot. Thank You, Amy, with a capital K-I-M. Oh my God. Like, this song was, I was like, oh my God, never in my life did I think we were going to have a Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian diss track. But like, it was absolutely iconic. She literally said, while you were throwing punches, I was building something. Like, hello. Was that not the Eras Tour, her epic comeback, Reputation, Lover, all these things? Like, she literally, like, she went into hiding and she's like, you thought I was just hiding, but I was like, I'm plotting my revenge. I'm coming back. I'm going to be bigger, stronger than ever. And we love. And it's also just such a good message of like, hey, listen, like, people are going to hate you and they're going to be mean to you and they're going to throw sticks and all this shit. But like, just, you know what? Keep your head down and do what you're doing and you're going to be okay. You know? Also, she literally said, everyone knows my mom is a saintly woman, but she wishes you were dead. I was like, oh my God, Miss Swift, like, shit. And then, okay, I just like wrote so many quotes from the song because it killed me. I built a legacy that you can't undo, but when I count the scars, there's a moment of truth. There wouldn't be this if there hadn't been you. And I feel like that is kind of one of those things, like, where she's taking back the narrative where Kanye's like, I made that bitch famous. She's like, no, I see that, like, this part of my life, I wouldn't have happened without you. But like, you also thought that I wasn't going to do this and wasn't going to be that bitch. And I am. So screw you. And then this was like kind of my favorite one. She said, I don't think you've changed much. So I've changed your name and any real defining clues. And the day your kid comes home singing a song that only the two of us is going to know is about you. Because we've seen clips where we've seen like the Kardashian kids literally like singing Taylor Swift and we're all just like, oh, so iconic. And I'm kind of obsessed with the fact that everybody keeps talking about how like Kourtney Kardashian is like, this is her song and she listens to it every single day. And here's my deal. Like, I really was hoping for this Kim feud to be done because I just want that. I do feel like there's a lot of fault here with Kanye West and, you know, it bothers me, but you know, Taylor really went through a tough time with this. And I think that that's something that we all didn't really know. Because to me, I think when this happened, I was like, Taylor's just so untouchable. Like, she's going to be fine. But the more you hear about, like, just how badly this affected her, you're just kind of like, okay, Kim. I Look Through People's Windows was, you know, another one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, she's like literally talking about like she is speaking to all of us about what we feel during a breakup. And it's like when you're going through a breakup and you're wondering if what your ex is up to and like what would happen if you saw each other, and you're like playing all these scenarios in your head and like all these things, like, God, it's just the way she like literally speaks to everything that we're thinking. And she's been doing this literally our whole lives. It's crazy. The Prophecy, I just wrote, this song killed me in all caps. She was like, when is it going to be my turn? When is it going to be my turn? This is another one of those songs where I kept having to remind myself about Travis Kelce's existence. But it was just so relatable because I feel like when you're going through a breakup, you mourn two things. You're mourning the loss of the person that you're with. And you're also like mourning the fact that you're kind of single again. And you're like, wait, what? Like, how did this happen? But also like, when is it going to be my turn? She's literally like, when is it going to be my turn? Like, when are things just going to work out for me? And like, I'm going to keep it real with you guys. Like, I think that often I'm like, how did this not work out? Like, you know, her other song, but then also like, when is it going to be my turn? Like, I'm ready. And I feel like these two songs, like the, you know, like the idea of when is it going to be my turn? And like, how did this happen? Like, how did this end? Like, to me, those like totally encapsulate the thoughts of a breakup. Cassandra seemed to me to be a little bit about the scandal again, but it was like, you know, the scandal with Kim, because she's like, you know, blood's thick but nothing like a payroll. And I was like, ooh, like, then I was starting to think, was somebody in the family, in the Kardashian family. Like, is someone in the Kardashian family Cassandra? Like, is this why Kourtney got ousted? Was she, like, kind of trying to help the situation? Like, I don't know. It was something interesting. Peter was really a beautiful song. And to me, I wrote that I just thought it might have been some of Taylor's, like, storytelling. Like, I didn't know if it was actually connected to something specific. But then I had seen on TikTok that people were talking about its connection to, like, Peter Pan. And so I was like, oh, maybe this is just, like, about all the boys that she's dated who, like, aren't men yet and just are, like, you know. Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's about one man, but, like, the history of her dating, like, kind of an older guys and, like, them still being, you know, young at heart and, like, not in a good way, you know? The Bolter, I just wrote, this is a commitment phobes anthem. Robin seemed just like a beautiful song about a child. And I was like, I don't know if I want to know more than that. When the manuscript came on, this was my last song. Okay. This is not my last song. It's her last song. But this was the last song. And I have to tell you that my phone was dying and it was at 13%. When I listened to the manuscript, my phone was dying and it was at 13%. If you're a Swiftie, you know, you know. This one just got, like, kind of juicy because I feel like this was her, you know, talking about, like, dating an older guy and, like, you know, just the illusion of this, of what could have happened. And then it's like, so I wrote about it and it's like, and I wrote this movie about it. And it's kind of like, you know, hey, these things happen to me. And so I write albums about it. Like, that was kind of the vibe I was getting. But then I was also like, this is where I felt like down a deep dive, because I feel like we've all been talking about, like, what if Taylor Swift released, like, a movie and, like, wrote a movie? And I'm like, is this the song that's teasing the fact that she's going to, like, come out and write a movie? I don't know. That is the only deep conspiracy that I have fallen into. So you heard it here maybe first on the podcast. My theory is that she's writing a movie or a TV show. And this is her, like, letting us know that it was happening. So thank you all so much for coming down my absolute Taylor Swift rabbit hole with me. I thought it would be fun. And obviously I had a lot to say because I was like, I could put this into the, like, normal episode. But then I was like, what if I just want to go on and talk about every single song? A part of me was embarrassed doing this. And I have to shout out my cousin Danielle because I talked to her, like, in between because I, like, needed a break. And I was like, I don't know, like, is this embarrassing? Like, is this weird for me to do, like, to, like, literally deep dive and just talk about every single Taylor Swift song? Like, I don't know, like, I'm a Swiftie and I love this, but, like, is it weird? And I got very, like, insecure about it. And she's like, I think it's going to be great. So thank you for giving me the encouragement to do this episode. I hope you guys love it. I'm wearing my Karma is my tight end. Yes, that's what the shirt says. Shout out to Karishma for buying me the shirt. And, you know, I'm going to, like, remind myself all day that Travis Kelce exists and it's gonna get me through. I love you all so much. Please share your thoughts with me. I want to talk Taylor with you. You can hit me up on Instagram or TikTok at Ashley Sleek. That's Ashley with two E's. I'm excited to keep listening to this album. I'm excited to memorize it and see more Taylor Swift content coming forward. I love you all so much. To my Swifties, you are the best. And the Swiftie X, you know, I'm sorry, what? Fan base is, you know, just so special. So I'm glad we got to share this moment together. Okay, I love you. Okay, bye.